The FT.
It's 4 years since the Arab Spring brought hopes of democratic change to the Arab world. In most of the countries where the autocratic leaders were deposed, the political repression that sparked the revolutions has been replaced by more repression, civil unrest, or worse. Many autocratic regimes have taken heart from the example of Egypt, where General Sisi, a military leader, stepped in to re-establish order with scant regard for human rights or hard-won political freedoms. Now the radical Islamist group known as ISIS is giving some regimes in the region a pretext to crack down further. I'm Fiona Simon. On the line with me is Borzou Dereghahi, who's just returned from a trip to Morocco, where he spoke to democracy activists there.
كان في ما كيخرج واحد المعطى يتعلق يعني بالامن على مستوى المغرب سواء تعلق الامر بالصحراء والمجموعه والارهاب مجموعه الامور اللي كتتعلق بزعزعه النظام او الازمات السياسيه.
That was the sound of Moroccan activists who spoke to Borzou at a demonstration calling for greater civil liberties in front of the parliament building in Rabat. Borzou, what did the activists tell you about how the Arab Spring affected their campaign for greater civil liberties?
First of all, we should say that Morocco took a very different path than most of the countries that were rocked by the Arab Spring. When people took to the streets of Morocco shortly after uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia, the government in Morocco gave the protesters permits. And shortly afterwards, the King Mohammed VI announced dramatic constitutional reforms, a referendum, fresh elections. And so there was quite a bit of change. There was a bit of the opening in the political space. Morocco in general, for anyone who's been there, is not as repressive as some of the other Arab countries. It's not as much of a brutal police state as, for example, Syria was or Libya was. But people were still agitating for more constitutional rights, a greater political space, a greater constellation of political options for themselves. And so it really seemed like things were changing in Morocco. And there was a real opening in terms of media as well as civil society and so on, even as the street protests faded.
What has happened since that time?
Well, according to the people that I've spoken to, in the last couple years especially, the pressure has basically come off of the government. Since the street protests ended, since these reforms were enacted, there has been less and less progress in terms of the advancement of political freedoms and civil liberties. And in part, many people have been telling me, this is because of the unbelievable turmoil that much of the region is engulfed in. People in Morocco, by and large, are cherishing stability far more than freedom and progress on these fronts. In addition, there is the threat of ISIS, the threat of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And Morocco, along with other countries, are using this threat, so to speak, of the jihadis' return to further embolden the security apparatuses and further tighten the restrictions on civil society.
Are you suggesting then that the regime in Morocco is not really under any kind of pressure because the people themselves are more subdued?
Well, I think that there has been, according to human rights activists and media monitors and so on, there has been a tightening of the political space in terms of NGOs, in terms of the press. People have been thrown into jail on charges that they probably shouldn't have been thrown into jail on. There's been a real self-censorship because of threats that people get, phone calls from pro-government journalists who say, hey, watch yourself, don't cross that red line on this particular subject, or you're going to regret it. You know, these are the kinds of things that are happening. Morocco is not like Syria under Bashar al-Assad, where, you know, people drag you out of your home and you're not seen for, you know, never. Morocco is a much more subtle, much more gentle place, has been since Mohammed VI took over after his father's death. And, you know, this is to Morocco's credit. There has been change in Morocco. It's not a thuggish state or as thuggish of a state as many of the other Arab countries. It's not as much a system of fear as Egypt right now. It's a, you know, soft autocratic system, but people are complaining that change that was taking place has come to a halt and is even moving backward now.
It seems there's still a mixed picture in the Arab world in terms of progress towards greater civil liberties. What, in your view, is the greatest threat and what are the bright spots?
I think the biggest threat to these countries right now is the security threat. I think many of the countries are worried about the emergence of ISIS on their soil. This is something that is real. It could happen. But on the other hand, a country like Morocco, there's no evidence yet that ISIS has arrived, although many Moroccans have gone off to fight in Syria and have joined ISIS, an estimated 3,000. There's no evidence that there's any kind of ISIS activity in the country. And as for bright spots, I think definitely what's happening in Tunisia, the commitment to democracy. Every month or so, there's another milestone as they continue along the constitutional path. There seems to be a sort of wary consensus between the Islamists and the secularists in that country. And that is a real bright spot at this time.
Thank you very much, Bozi.
It's been a pleasure.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.